Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom, everyone. This is Evangelist August Rosado with Today in Bible Prophecy Ministry. I want to welcome you to our program as we look at current world events in light of biblical prophecy and the soon return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ at the next prophetic event on God's calendar that we call the rapture of the church of the living God. I am so thankful that you have decided to take out 45 minutes of your time and tune in and eavesdrop on this conversation as we look at current world events in light of biblical prophecy. And folks, I am coming to you live from Wiggins, Mississippi. Out here now for the past couple of weeks, and we have been just having a wonderful time out here. I preach at a few churches here in the area, and folks, we just finished a week-long Bible prophecy conference at 10 Mile Baptist Church in Perkinston, Mississippi. Now, folks, this went Monday, and it was supposed to go through Wednesday. People of the church approached the pastor and said, we need to extend this prophecy conference for Thursday and Friday. So the pastor asked if that was okay with me. And I said, that was just fine. And I'm so glad that the pastor was obedient to the Lord, Brother Stan Bennett. And folks, last night, Friday night, final night of the conference, and two people got saved at that conference. What a blessing. One of the women that got saved, a young lady, thought that she was saved. Thought she had that born-again relationship with the Lord. And after last night's message, the Lord spoke to her, and she needed to get that right. And she did last night. She called upon the name of the Lord, and she got saved. And then I had the opportunity to talk with another woman last night and led her to the Lord because she had no assurance of her eternal destination. So I am so glad the Lord worked that out and gave us two extra nights of this prophecy conference. Now, tomorrow morning, Sunday, the 22nd of March, I will be preaching in Poplarville, Mississippi, at the Derby Missionary Baptist Church. I will be preaching for them Sunday morning only. That will be the Derby Missionary Baptist Church in Poplarville, Mississippi. And then Sunday night in Louisville, Mississippi, I will be preaching for Calvary Missionary Baptist Church. Brother Jacob Bogart is the pastor. And I will be there Sunday night preaching on current world events in light of biblical prophecy. And then beginning this Wednesday, we will be in Gulfport, Mississippi from Wednesday through Sunday. I will be preaching at Biloxi River Baptist Church, again, in Gulfport, Mississippi. Folks, that will be a five-day Bible prophecy conference. We invite you, if you live anywhere in that area of Mississippi, to come on out every single night and join us, current world events in light of biblical prophecy. Folks, a lot of things have been happening. A lot of things have been going on. And we want to invite you to come on out and join us, have an opportunity to meet you. And as we take a look at the book and look at these current world events, in light of biblical prophecy. Now, next Saturday, I am going to have with me David James on the program. Many of you remember David James from last October, where I had him on the show. Now, next Saturday, we're going to be talking about some pretty heretical things, folks, that have been taking place in the church. Of course, one of them was a statement by Andy Stanley, who said, you don't need to believe in Jesus, but at least apply his teachings so that you can live a better life. And, of course, Mr. Creflo Dollar added again, once again, asking for money. But this time, he's asking for $65 million for a brand spanking new luxurious jet. And folks, we wonder why we don't experience any more power of God in the church anymore, because of outrageous statements like this. David James and myself will tackle these issues from a biblical standpoint. So that will be next Saturday. Tune in as I interview David James. But folks, on today's program, I want to talk about the Zechariah factor. The Zechariah factor. And what the Jewish prophet Zechariah, in this apocalyptic book, and what he has to say concerning, folks, the current situation that we see going on right now. It is setting the stage for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled and the soon return of our Lord Jesus in the next prophetic event on God's calendar that we call the rapture of the church. Now, folks, if you want to ask a question, you can send me an email at august.todayinbibleprophecy@gmail.com. Put in the subject prophecy question and make your question brief, and we will read that over the air. Or better yet, go to the Blog Talk Radio site, go right into my chat room, and you can type in a question, and we will read that question over the air. If there are no questions, we're just going to go through this program on the Zechariah factor. And so we're going to tackle what Zechariah had to say concerning what we see happening right now in light of biblical prophecy. Now, folks, the Jewish prophet Zechariah began his ministry somewhere between 520 and 508 B.C. And Zechariah, he was a contemporary to the Jewish prophet Haggai. Zechariah and Haggai were known as the post-exilic prophets. They were the prophets of the post-exile. And they both encouraged the Jewish people to build the temple of God. Zechariah was a Jewish priest. He studied for the priesthood for some 28 years. His name in Hebrew is Yahweh Remembers. That's what his name means. Yahweh Remembers. He encourages the Jews who came back from the 70-year Babylonian exile. They go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple of God. Babylon is destroyed in 539 B.C. by the Medes and the Persians. And they go back to to Jerusalem, and they slack on rebuilding the temple. And folks, the temple is not completed until 515 B.C. It takes the Jews some 24 years to rebuild the temple when it should have taken them some 3 to 4 years to do so. It took Solomon 7 years to build the temple. These Jews, somewhat 3 to 4 years to do so. Actually, not 3 to 4 years. It took them 24 years to complete the temple. Zechariah mentions the city of Jerusalem some 41 times in that book in relation to war and Jesus, the Jewish Messiah's second coming, back to that very city where he will one day rule and reign. In Zechariah chapter number 8, it talks about the future restoration of Israel. In verses 2 and 3, God says he is jealous for Zion with great jealousy and with great fury. Now, what we need to remember, Zion is a word that is synonymous with Jerusalem. And let me just read out of Zechariah, chapter number 8, verses 1 through 3. Again, the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion, and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Now, the word jealous, ladies and gentlemen, is the Hebrew word kanah, meaning that God is fiercely protective or vigilant of his possession of Jerusalem. Jealous, in a nutshell, is one who fiercely is protective or vigilant of one's rights or possession. God says he is jealous for Zion and Jerusalem with great fury. Now, the word fury in Hebrew is charon, meaning somebody who is burning with anger. God says through Zechariah that he will defend his holy mountain. That phrase, holy mountain, is found 18 times in the Old Testament and refers to the city of Jerusalem. God says he will aggressively defend Jerusalem. He is possessive of it. In Zechariah chapter 9, God says he will bring judgment Israel's neighbors who seek to destroy her. Those Arab nations that share a border with Israel, Lebanon to the northwest, Syria to the northeast, Egypt to the south, and Jordan to the east. Zechariah chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, God talks about the future deliverance of the city of Jerusalem. In chapter 13 of Zechariah, cleansing the city of Jerusalem from the Gentiles, the Gentile nations, the Goy or the Goyim, who would defile that very city. And also in Zechariah 13, God said, there will be a cleansing for the house of Israel for sin and for uncleanness. Zechariah chapter 14 and verse number 4 speaks of Jesus' second coming and his feet will one day touch the Mount of Olives, which is on Jerusalem in the east. God will judge all the nations who will come up against the Jewish state of Israel in an attempt to take the city of Jerusalem. Folks, the battle in the future will be for Jerusalem. And the Arab world will seek to annihilate the Jews to take Jerusalem. Jerusalem is in the news every single day. And there are world powers that are coming up against Israel to pressure her to give away more land. God says he will crush these nations because God is aggressively possessive of the city that Jesus himself calls the city of the great king. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 35. And we now see the stage is being set right now for a land grab by the Palestinians. And President Obama is leading the crusade to assure that happens. Now, we all know that recently Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu won the Israeli elections, coming back from behind to win the elections to the ire of President Obama. Now, Obama did not call Bibi. That's his nickname. He did not call Bibi until 2 days later. Obama continues to show disrespect to Prime Minister Netanyahu. Obama even sent a delegation to Israel to try to gum up the elections to make sure that Bibi lost. Netanyahu said that as prime minister, he will not allow a Palestinian state on his watch. Now, Obama said to Netanyahu, when he made that phone call 2 days later, he indirectly threatened the prime minister that the U.S. will withdraw its support from Israel in the United Nations to vote in favor of a Palestinian state. Obama, ladies and gentlemen, is playing with fire. The Palestinian Authority said it wants East Jerusalem as a capital for a future Palestinian state, and that the PA wants its own borders. But we know that Malachi chapter 1, verse 4, God calls those borders the borders of wickedness. Obama indirectly again, folks, threatened Bibi and said the U.S. will abandon Israel at the United Nations. Obama said they will pull its veto and allow the savage dogs to move in for the kill. And folks, this is what the Jewish prophet Zechariah wrote from 2,600 years ago. The stage is being set for a move by Israel's enemies to take Jerusalem. And again, Obama did not call to congratulate Bibi, but to warn him that America is ready to turn her back on the Jews. Recently, the United Nations said that the top violator of women's rights in the world. Are you ready for this? The top violator of women's rights in the world is Israel. This is what the UN body, CSW, the Commission on the Status of Women, said. Folks, how unbelievable could this be? These jokers, that's what they are, these jokers, ignore the fact that, number one, Syria is a major violator of women's and human rights, where the Syrian government forces routinely employ rape and sexual violence and torture against women as a tactic of war. Where in 2014, the Assad regime starved, tortured, and killed at least 24,000 civilians, 3 million people, mostly women and children and refugees. Where is the United Nations condemnation of this? Where is the CSW status, the CSW condemnation of this? Well, no, they say that Israel is a major violator of women and human rights. How stupid can one be? Saudi Arabia, where women are physically punished, if not wearing compulsory clothing, and almost entirely excluded from political life. They cannot drive, cannot have a driver's license, cannot travel with our male relative, and receive only half the inheritance of their brother, and where their testimony counts for half of that of a man in a court of law. Where is the UN by a condemnation of that? Where is the CSW condemnation of that? But no, Israel is the major violator of women's rights. Sudan, where domestic violence is not prohibited, there is no minimum age for consensual sex. The legal age of marriage in Sudan for girls is 10 years old. 88% of women under 50 have undergone female genital mutilation, and women are denied equal rights in marriage, inheritance, and divorce. Where is the United Nations condemnation? Where is the CSW condemnation of that? But no, Israel is a major violator of women's rights. Iran, presidential candidate in the last election, was disqualified. Adultery is punishable by death from stoning. Women who fight back against rapists and kill their attackers are executed. The Iranian constitution bars female judges, and women must obtain the consent of their husbands to work outside of the home. Where is the United Nations condemnation there? Where is the CSW condemnation there? They are silent, folks. Israel is a major violator of women's rights. China, women and girls, half a billion people without elementary civil and political rights, who still face the prospect of forced abortion and sterilization. Where is the United Nations condemnation there? Where is the CSW condemnation there? There isn't. They're silent. But yet Israel is a major violator of women's rights. Somalia, where female genital mutilation is ubiquitous. Sexual violence is rampant against women, and women are systematically subordinate to men. Not in the subordination as we know it in Ephesians chapter 5, but subordinate to the point that if they don't listen, the husbands have a right to kill them, beat them up, and even force them into sexual slavery. Where is the UN condemnation? Where is the CSW condemnation? It's not their fault. Yet Israel is a major violator of women's rights, according to the U.N. Yemen, where the penal code goes easy on the killers of women for immodest or defiant behavior. There is no minimum age for marriage, and women have no equal rights to property, employment, credit, pay, education, or housing. Where is the United Nations condemnation there? Where is the CSW condemnation there? It's silent. But yet Israel is the major violator of women's rights. The CSW is nothing but a United Nations sham, as well as the United Nations Human Rights Council. They ignore all these human rights violations all over the world, and they are hell-bent on going after Israel. CSW and the United Nations Human Rights Council was created for the purpose of just simply attacking the state of Israel. The Palestinians, will use the United Nations and the World Court to go after Israel with lethal politics since they failed with lethal military force. And, folks, we see the stage being set for the prophecies of Zechariah to come to pass. God says in Zechariah chapter 8, verse 3, "Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion, and I will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem shall be called the city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain." God said that he will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And yet God calls Jerusalem the city of truth. In Hebrew, Ur Shel Emet. Jerusalem is the city of truth. And one day the Messiah will dwell from the city of truth. God will defend the city and destroy Jerusalem from all her enemies. And folks, that's exactly what he is going to do. And yet, Zechariah chapter 1 and verse number 14. This is what God says in Zechariah chapter 1 and verse number 14. "So the angel that communed with me said unto me, Cry thou, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with great jealousy." In verse 15, he says this, "And I am very sore displeased with the heathen that are at ease. For I was but a little displeased, and they helped forward the affliction." In other words, God says, I was a little displeased, but God says, now they ticked me off. God says in Zechariah 1:14, "I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with great jealousy." The Hebrew there is, "I am aggressively possessive for Jerusalem." Then in verse 15, God says, "I am very sore displeased with the heathen that are at ease." In other words, the Hebrew says, "I am very sore displeased with the heathen who arrogantly think they control my city." God says he will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling. In other words, he will make Jerusalem a cup of intoxication. Those who are intoxicated with power to take the city of Jerusalem away from the Jews. God says he will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone. In other words, God says he will make Jerusalem such a heavy weight. Those who will try to take Jerusalem would have a hernia trying to lift up Jerusalem. God says he will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone and such a heavy weight. And yet, folks, in Zechariah chapter 12, in verse number 10, it says that Jesus Christ will come back and the Jews will be ready to embrace him when he does. When all the nations that surrounded Jerusalem in an attempt to annihilate her, Jesus Christ will come back. Zechariah 12:10 says, "I will pour upon the house of David, upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and of supplication, and they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced, and shall mourn for him as one that mourns for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn son." And yet John in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 7, reiterates what Zechariah says. He says in Revelation 1:7, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen." And yet Paul the Apostle also reiterates what Zechariah said about Jesus' second coming. In Romans 11:26, Paul says, "And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob." Folks, the Bible says the Lord Jesus will come back from the east. And when he does, he will pick up those Jews who found shelter at Petra, where they flee from the Antichrist, and where God will shelter them there for the last 42 months, the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. Isaiah chapter 16, verses 1 and 4. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 20. Isaiah chapter 63, verses 1 through 6, all tells us that God will shelter the Jews for the last 3.5 years there at Petra. And we also find this in Zechariah chapter 14 and verse number 5, where it clearly says this, "And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach into Azal. Yea, ye shall flee, like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee." That's a second coming passage right there. That Jesus Christ will come by way of the east. He'll go to Petra. He'll pick up those Jews there at Petra, bring them to Jerusalem. And when he comes to Jerusalem, he will take those Jews back to Jerusalem, where Zechariah 14:4 says, "His feet will touch the Mount of Olives. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof, toward the east," there it is, the east, "and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley. And half the mountain shall be moved toward the north, and half the mountains toward the south." Jesus Christ will come back to Jerusalem. And folks, he will come back to defend Jerusalem. And if the Bible says that Jesus Christ will set up a kingdom from Jerusalem, the center of the earth, according to Ezekiel chapter 5, verse 5, Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse number 8. And right there we will celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, the Jewish feast. We read this in Zechariah 14, 16. "And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came up against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles." The Feast of Tabernacles talked about in Leviticus chapter 23 and verse number 34. Jesus Christ will reign from the city of Jerusalem. And the Bible gives us the number, folks. He will reign for 1,000 years. That's Revelation chapter 20, verses 2 through 7. He will reign, folks, for 1,000 years. And yet God tells us 6 times in Revelation chapter 20, verses 2 through 7, that he will reign for 1,000 years. If God said it one time, that's good enough for me. But when he says it 6 times, we better listen up, folks. He will reign for 1,000 years from the city of Jerusalem in the land of Israel. He will establish a kingdom, according to Daniel chapter 2, kingdom that will never be destroyed. That's the reason why he said, when he prayed that prayer in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That is the kingdom. We are not in the kingdom right now. The kingdom is yet to come. It's amazing to me of the heresy that's being propagated by Christians today, especially when it comes to Bible prophecy. We are not in that kingdom right now. The kingdom is yet to come. If we were in the kingdom right now, Jesus would not have said, "Thy kingdom come." That's future tense. We are not in that kingdom right now. And folks, everything that we see happening right now in the world is indeed setting the stage for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. And the next prophetic event on God's calendar that we call the rapture of the church of the living God. Folks, it's showing you and I that the stage is being set. The stage is being set for the prophetical events foretold in the apocalyptic book of Zechariah. He is a minor prophet with a major message. Everything is falling into place right now, which shows that the rapture of the church is about to take place. we see right now, the Syrians between the United States and Israel. God says in Zechariah chapter 14, verses 1 and 2, talking about Jerusalem and the nations, he says, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city." And it says, "Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as he fought in the day of battle." Jerusalem. He is going to defend the Jewish people. Jerusalem is his city. He says, "I have put my name there. And nobody will take that city that I have put my name in, that I have given to David for his capital. And nobody is going to take that city from me." Obama, the United States, not the European Union, not the United Nations, not Russia, and no Arab nation. No little factions like the Palestinian Authority, Islamic Jihad, Al-Aqsa Brigade, ISIS. None of these factions, Al-Qaeda, none of them will take that city away from my chosen people. David conquered that city in 2 Samuel chapter 5 from the Jebusites. He made Jerusalem his capital. And Jerusalem has been the capital of the Jewish people for over 3,000 years. God says, "I will defend Jerusalem." And he says, "Jerusalem is the city of truth." Jerusalem, the city of truth. God says, "I'm going to come up against these people with such great fury." That great fury is that Hebrew word, harom. I will be burning with anger. Why? Because I'm jealous for Jerusalem. Hana, I'm jealous. God says, "I will fiercely protect my city. I will be vigilant of that city. I am vigilant to protect my possession." God says he is jealous. Zion and Jerusalem with Harom, great fury. Folks, President Obama and the United States, the United Nations, and all the nations of the world provoking God. And God, and again, folks, he makes it clear in Zechariah 1, in verse number 14, God says, "For I was but a little displeased." God says, "I was a little angry, but now," and I'm adding some things here. God says, "But now they ticked me off. Stage is set. The actors are in place. And the curtain is about to go up on the end time drama." The Lord Jesus Christ is about to come back. And the next prophetic event on God's calendar that we call the rapture of the church is about to take place. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, 51, 52, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Folks, that is the rapture of the church. And as I bring this broadcast to a close, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, here's the bad news. You are either one heartbeat away from going to hell, or you're one trumpet sound away from being left behind. If you're not saved, I invite you to say a simple prayer. You must repent of your sins. Acknowledge to God that you're a sinner. We're all sinners. It's a change of heart, mind, attitude. Pray a prayer, something like this. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I'm truly sorry for my sin. I repent of my sins today. I turn from my wickedness, from my rebellion against you. And I repent of those sins today. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart. Forgive me of all my sins. I now receive you as my Lord and personal Savior. I receive your free gift of eternal life. Forgive me of my sins. Wash my sins away, Lord Jesus, with your precious blood. And I claim your gift, your free gift of eternal life. I want to be ready, Lord Jesus, for either the rapture when you come and call your church out of this world, or be ready for death when you call me home. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Say to me today. Your name I pray, amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, I want to hear from you. Shoot me an email, august.todayinbibleprophecy@gmail.com. Let me know you prayed that prayer. I want to rejoice with you, help you in your new walk with the Lord, direct you to a good local Bible-believing church in your area. And, folks, if you don't receive our newsletters, sign up for our newsletters. They go out every single week. That by going to my website, todayinbibleprophecy.org, and type in your email address and the email sign up. You'll start receiving that every single week. Go to our online catalog, order our books, CDs, DVDs, gifts from the Holy Land. And, folks, if you want to join us on our Bible Prophecy Tour to Israel next year, mid-February, early March, and join us on our Bible Prophecy Tour with an option to Petra next year. Stop making those arrangements now. And, folks, don't forget to join us for next week for our Bible Live Prophecy Show here on Blog Talk Radio. Keep looking up. Jesus is coming soon, and it could be today.